This episode contains spoilers for the 2024 film, The Fall Guy.
In 3, 2, 1, action.
Good.
Shot through the heart, and you're too late, darling. You give love a bad name.
Anyone but him. I didn't approve him. You know that. You are literally the last person on earth I want to see. It's slap the shit out of you. I really could.
And I'm open to that in a safer environment.
You've been a ghost. No phone call, no text.
It's not like I didn't want to apologize.
You don't have to explain anything. It was just a flame. So how have you been? God, I hate that thumbs up, stunt guy stuff. I'm the director.
We're gonna set this man on fire.
You're a stunt guy. We need to keep it super profesh.
Profesh is my middle name.
You said your middle name was Danger.
How'd we do, boss? Really?
Yeah.
Holster that.
Yeah, it's holstered. It's done. Forget. You never saw it.
Tom Ryder, the biggest action star on the planet, is missing. You need to bring him back.
Or
Jodie's movie is dead.
Why me?
You're a stuntman. Nobody's gonna notice you. That's your job. No offense.
I mean, some taking.
You find Ryder, save Jodie's film, you get the love of your life back.
I'm not the hero, I'm just the double.
Not today, you're not.
Tom? We only need you back on set, pal.
Dead body on ice?
He was so dead, Gail. He was super dead.
He has got himself involved with some shady people.
I had no choice. I had to do some Jason Bourne shit. They were trying to kill me. And not in a fun way. You can make it, you can make it. You can't make it. It's too dangerous. Gotta be stairs. Okay.
What happened to your face? You look terrible.
You look amazing.
You fall down, you get right back up. How far would you go for the one that you love?
I'll buy you a drink when this is over. Engage your core.
Yeah, boy. Stunts.
What are you doing later? Want to go to a beach somewhere?
Drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Good afternoon, folks, and welcome to the Nerd Orchestra Podcast. This is the podcast where we will review orchestral movie soundtracks for genre movies. By that, I mean superhero, science fiction, horror, and action movies. Movies where the soundtrack is a definite part of the proceedings. My name is Chuck Dill, and I'm one of your hosts for this podcast. I grew up in the 1970s loving comic books and all sorts of genre movies. I've loved orchestra movie soundtracks ever since I was able to tape the opening of Superman the Movie off of a network television broadcast on my boombox. Unfortunately, I have no musical education, but don't fret. I'm joined in this venture by my more than qualified co-hosts, Dr. Bob and Dr. Husband, from the world-famous Checkered Past podcast. Dr. Bob, why are you two so qualified to be doing this with me?
Well, we also grew up in the 70s. We also love comic books and superhero movies, but we also hate money, so we got terminal degrees in music. Thus the doctor appellation.
Yeah. All right, we have a bit of a departure for you today. We will be talking about The Fall Guy from 2024, a brand new movie. Directed by David Leitch and starring Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt. The composer is Dominic Lewis. This movie is inspired by the Lee Majors TV show of the 1980s, but you don't need to be familiar with that show to enjoy this movie. So we've done Superman 1979, Star Trek 1982. Back to the Future from 85, Batman from 89, and we jump to this.
Yeah, well, huh?
Well, we want to show you that we're not just old guys in the basement grousing about how stuff was better in the old days. That's, well, Bob is.
God, I don't have a basement.
I wish I had a basement.
This is just a very fun movie, and its soundtrack made me grin from ear to ear. And sometimes I listen to a lot of soundtracks from a lot of different movies all throughout the year, and occasionally one just sticks in my head and it won't let go, and that's what happened with this one. So I suggested to Dr. Bob and Dr. Husband, let's watch this, and they had not seen it. So, Dr. Bob, what was your thought when I suggested this?
I was dubious because the trailers for this movie did not do anything for me.
Really?
Really. I had never watched The Fall Guy. I do like Emily Blunt and Ryan Gosling, but the trailers presented this as just a rom-com where they were going to meet and somehow fall in love, improbably, which is not exactly what happens in the movie. Hmm. And I just didn't, there was no chemistry between them in the trailers. And then they had the whole thing about, you know, he was going to have to rescue the real star of the movie, blah, blah, blah. And just, the trailers didn't grab me.
Wow.
I had no interest in seeing it.
Dr. Husband?
Well, I was confused for the first half hour of the movie.
I think that's true of every movie you watch.
Oh, well, I kept on waiting for, like, the George Peppard character and the Gregory Peck character. Oh, no, the George Peppard character, Mr. T's character, Dwight Schultz's character, and Dirk Benedict's characters. And I did not understand any of the movie because I was like, I don't understand. These are supposed to be former soldiers who are solving crimes and helping people. And this is all about a stuntman who makes movies. And I just kept on waiting and waiting and waiting for that plot to unfold. And I never saw the characters, like the rebooted characters introduced. I don't understand. So I finally just gave up and went with whatever was happening on the screen.
Yeah, you should do that a lot.
Yeah.
Just go with it.
We should just state at the outset that Dr. Husband and I are homosexual men, and so, of course, we had no knowledge of Heather Locklear in the 80s or any of that business.
Okay, so, honestly, if the listener's listening, I just described one of our listeners did not grow up watching television. I know one of our listeners, and I just described, comedically, the cast of The A-Team, which I'm sure listener never, ever watched. I must say that Dr. Husband... Mm-hmm. And I must politely push back. I did watch the Fall Guy television series for the male leads. Thank you. So even though I am a homosexual, I did watch. I can't remember the name of the guy, Lee something or other, who was Lee.
What?
No, I'm sorry. No, wait.
What?
No,
wait.
Stop.
Lee Majors. I want a divorce.
No, Lee Majors. But his other character. What was his name?
Doug Barr.
Doug? Bob, who was the Fall Guy?
Oh, you mean the sidekick?
Yeah.
Adrian Zmed? No, that's TJ.
I'm looking it up right now. Fall Guy TV.
His last name is Barr, and he played Charlene's husband on Designing Women.
Okay. Lee Majors. Oh, Douglas Barr.
Douglas Barr.
Okay, Douglas Barr.
You know, I might be related to him.
Uh-uh.
Yeah.
Oh, and by the way, Heather Thomas was the character in there, right? Marky Post was in the cast, too.
Oh, it wasn't Heather Locklear?
No, Heather Thomas.
Was it Heather Thomas?
But okay. Heather... Oh, maybe she's been... Maybe... look. Doesn't that look like Heather Locklear to you?
They all look the same. Right? All girls.
What? Well, when the cameo in the movie, she was absolutely unrecognizable. She looked like a fake human being. Okay, so all the kidding aside, I did watch The Fall Guy. I loved it. As a matter of fact, I used to know all the words to the theme song.
All right.
The kind to kiss and tell, but I've been seen with Farrah. It's true, I hire my body out for pay. Hey.
That is awesome. We will get to that and so much more. I watched The Fall Guy off and on. I really did enjoy it. I wasn't slave fan to it, but I imagine watching it now would be nothing like this movie. You really don't need to be familiar with that show for this movie. This movie has been in development since 2010. and it had a number of different male leads attached to it over the years. It's a solid action movie with many, many crazy stunts in it. Excuse me. And it's composed by And it's composed by Dominic Lewis. So, gentlemen, what do you know about Dominic Lewis?
I know he's the singing voice of Donald Duck on DuckTales. I know that he composed music for The Man in the High Castle and some other things. Peter Rabbit. See, I did a little bit of research.
I didn't know we had no dates.
I was told there would be no math. I've never heard of Dominic Lewis, and this was a surprise. This soundtrack and how much I love it was a flat-out surprise, and I kept checking, who is this Dominic Lewis guy? What has he done? I don't know anything of his past work. I don't watch any of those TV shows. He did work with the director of Fall Guy on a movie called Bullet Train, which I did very much enjoy.
Never seen it.
I downloaded the soundtrack and listened to it, and it didn't grab me by the throat like the Fall Guy soundtrack did. So I'm going to have to give that some more time and see. But this soundtrack is the one from 2024 that has the biggest rent space in my brain.
So far, the year's not over yet.
Right, right. Haven't ever heard of him, but this soundtrack is the one from the... Sorry, let me go back. We are reversing the trend here from this with the 1980s and 90s. If you recall, in the 80s and 90s, you could always find the song track. By that, I mean the popular songs that were associated with a movie, and never the soundtrack. And it's the opposite here. Mm-hmm. They did not put out a song track for Fall Guy. They included a couple of the songs... the popular songs on the soundtrack. But this movie is so good with the music that I ended up making my own song track. I enjoyed that music so much.
Did you rent the movie and then get your cassette tape player out and make your soundtrack?
I did. I did the 2020s version of that. You can make your own song track relatively easily using the IMDb app. You can go there and it will tell you all the music, not the soundtrack, but the songs that were in the movie. I did this with Baby Driver, if you remember that movie from a couple years ago. It had an enormous amount of what they call needle drops. In the thing. So this was something I enjoyed doing, and there was a lot of music to pull from, and we'll get into that. Dr. Bob and Dr. Husband, how do you feel about iconic 1970s rock band Kiss?
Love them. Yeah. Love them. I will say that
mostly from their appearance on the Paul Lynde Halloween special.
Which I was ushered out of the room.
What?
It was on the little black and white TV set in the kitchen, and my mother made me leave the room. And I was like, who are those guys? She's like, get out!
But it had Witchy Poo and Margaret Hamilton together, and Paul Lynde, and Betty White, and Florence Henderson.
Well, I was watching the special.
Oh, okay.
But just when you had Kiss to leave. Came on, I had to leave the room.
Well, I, of course, knew Kiss because my sister loved them and loved had their album. And then I remember seeing them on TV from Kiss in the Phantom of the Park or something, Phantom of the Amusement Park or something like that.
Oh, right.
Right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So
I remember in sixth grade, Chris Kajavitz dressed as Paul Stanley for his Halloween costume, and it caused a sensation when we had to march around the block in our costumes.
Nice.
Well, I did not recognize the Kiss song at first when it came on because I had done no research before we saw the movie, right? And it came on, and I said, I know that song, but that artist is not right, because it was a different artist that did the cover song.
Well,
right.
My own Kiss memories, if I hear... we're going to rock and roll all night and party every day. Mm. Again, I will shoot somebody. Mm. That's just, I'm just done with that song. Mm-hmm. It's just one lyric over and over and over again.
Yeah, I know what to get you for your birthday.
I, I love the idea of Kiss. I love the look of them. I love the 1970s sensationalism and the fact that they printed a Marvel comic book and mixed their own blood in the ink for it.
Oh, my God. No.
Yeah.
You haven't heard that?
Oh, for God's sake.
Hey, name this artist.
Disco version of Kiss. Nice.
Who is
it?
Linda Carter.
TV's Wonder Woman, Linda Carter.
TV's Wonder Woman, I love it. So we bring this up, we're harping on this song because the entire soundtrack to Fall Guy is based around I Was Made for Loving You. It's the theme of the movie. The movie immediately opens with the Kiss version of I Was Made for Loving You to the, not the credits, but the studio symbols and the symbology before the
actual. But it wasn't the Kiss, actual original Kiss song.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Well, no.
No, it was a Kiss song. It wasn't Kiss recorded. It was a different guy who did a cover of it.
Incorrect. It opened with the Kiss version, and they shelved that, and it closes with the Kiss version.
Oh,
but the main song in there, they had a guy. Look how old we are! I don't even know his name.
Too bad no one has an
Young Blood.
Yes, Young Blood. They had him do a version of it. Mm-hmm. For a powerful scene in the movie, and they keep bringing it back in themes in the orchestra. So yeah, it sets the tone for the whole proceedings. This one song, and I thought that was enormously interesting. I know that there are other soundtracks that have done this. I can't think of one off the top of my head, but it's very engaging in this particular soundtrack.
Mm-hmm.
So, you mentioned the trailers, Dr. Bob.
Yes.
And Dr. Husband, I gave you homework. I asked you to listen to both trailers and not watch them. Did you do it?
Yeah, but I forgot.
Oh, I forgot that we weren't supposed to watch them. But that was also something I did not like about the trailers, that they were playing not the Kiss songs, but they were playing other pop songs
right
from the 80s that I didn't like those songs.
Oh,
which made me not want to see
trailers,
the movie.
The trailers made me not want to see the movie that I had already seen.
Really?
Yes.
Well, I love the trailers, and I have to engage you guys on what my trailer practices are. I will download a trailer, I'll rip the music off, the sound off the trailer, and I will include it in my playlist for an orchestral soundtrack that I like.
Have you sought help?
How many times has Salisbury Hill been on a trailer?
The first trailer has versions of Any Way You Want It by Journey.
Which, yes.
I love that song.
I do enjoy that song.
Yeah.
The second trailer has Shot Through the Heart by Bon Jovi.
Wow.
So they are setting up in these trailers the fact that this is going to be an 80s callback, a very, very 80s action guy, fist-punching, gun-shooting, running-jumping movie that tries to wrap itself around a romance thread.
Mm-hmm.
So they're setting you up for that right with the trailers. So yeah, we've talked a lot about it, but let's give our listeners a taste. Dr. Bob, could you please play I Was Made for Loving You by Kiss? So So yeah, that's just a taste of what the entire soundtrack will be based around. Let's get into it. There's another needle drop early in the movie when the Fall Guy decides that he is going to rebel by parking a car. He's a, what do you call him?
He's a valet.
He's a valet.
Car parker.
He's a car parker. And he tears through the underground garage to Thunderstruck by AC/DC.
Nice.
Which is quite nice. So, yes, we're continuing with the 80s drop. But we don't really get into the meat and potatoes of the soundtrack yet. There's one other song that's worth mentioning, and I don't know if you guys appreciate it as much as I do. He is in the car bemoaning the loss of his romance, listening to the 10-minute version of All Too Well by Taylor Swift.
I love
and that. He is crying.
I love that scene so much.
Well, this will tell you how old I am. I would have had no idea that was Taylor Swift unless someone said something in the film.
In which she did, didn't she?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I kind of actually like the song, though.
Yeah. I don't know any songs by Taylor Swift. She's completely escaped me.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We should rededicate ourselves, get Swifty t-shirts, and get to a concert.
Are you insane?
Sometimes. Whenever I get around to you, I get just crazy. So let's start off the actual soundtrack by giving us a taste of a piece called Sexy Bacon, where the Fall Guy has been convinced to do some investigating. And this, we get a caper-style piece. It's very much like a 1980s cop show. And it's you can already detect influences of I Was Made for Loving You. So, Dr. Bob, Sexy Bacon, please.
Lots of extended techniques in there. Interesting.
What do you mean? What's an extended technique?
Using conventional instruments in unconventional ways. So I thought I heard him. Sometimes they'll do a technique where they take a drum and they wet their finger and they rub it around a drum, on the head of a drum, and it makes a really cool noise. And then I heard that Kiss theme being sort of like either hummed or oohed in the background, you know, which is not extended technique, but just really, really clever mixture of textures.
Yeah. So what is it that I'm hearing in this, aside from the Kiss theme, that makes that gives off the 80s feel?
Synthesizers.
Mm-hmm.
Is it that easy?
Synthesizers and that, you know, background.
Right.
It's very much like Jan Hammer's Miami Vice music.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we'll get to that in a bit.
Yes.
So, gentlemen, I looked up Dominic Lewis. He was born in 1985.
He's a baby.
He's not that much of a baby. He's 39.
Well, he must not have had the front row experience of living through the 80s and watching these shows. Mm-hmm. So either an enormous amount of research and an excellent ear for it, or he spent the 90s in front of a VCR.
Which is possible.
Right.
Yeah. Well, especially if this film has been so long in making, he probably had quite a while to decide what kind of soundtrack, to do some research, what kind of soundtrack he wanted to do,
mm-hmm.
right?
So, Dominic Lewis, if you are out there, we want to interview you and pick your brain about this. You have certainly caught our attention.
Surely he's been interviewed.
Surely.
Surely.
Well, his parents are musicians. I did read that. And he's gotcha. A cello player.
Gotcha. So, from sexy bacon, we're going to go to Fruit Plate, which is a very short piece.
So what do you like about that piece?
First off, the character is drugged and hallucinating mm-hmm. While this is going on. And it's frenetic, it's upbeat, mm-hmm. it's quick, mm-hmm. But it's a little action-oriented. Like, it's high-stepping. You're not running, jumping, and punching, but you're, like, sneaking into a hotel and... trying to get past security guards or what have you.
Is it predictable?
I don't know. I would have to think about that. I don't think so.
Mm-hmm. What I mean is, like, are the phrases unpredictable? Did the phrases change?
The phrase.
Yeah. So it goes dun 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 dun. Dun 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 dun. So what I did was I listened a couple times and counted. He's mixing the meters constantly. They're not constantly, like he does 8, 7, 2 bars of 6. Or 2 bars of 4, 1 bar of 7, 2 bars of 6, 2 bars of 4, 1 bar of 7, 2 bars of 6. Which is kind of interesting. I just thought that was... The idea of mixing up the meters is to sort of make you not be able to predict where it's going.
Nice, mm-hmm. nice. Keep you a little bit off balance. Mm-hmm. Much like the character is in the scene. What do you mean when you asked about phrases? What's a phrase musically?
It's something... Generally speaking, a phrase is something that has a beginning, a middle, and an end. You know, or an antecedent and consequent... meaning a question and an answer, or, you know, to use language terms. So you can predict where, you know, what's the, like, happy birthday to you, happy birthday to you. Those are two phrases. Happy birthday, dear Chuck, happy birthday to you. So that's four phrases, okay, in that piece. 1, 2, 3, 4, da 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 da, right? So it's basically a question and a logical answer, a question and a logical answer, or four just separate things. His is mixed up. We got 2 bars of 4. Those are two phrases. Then it's really quirky, 7. Then 2 bars of 6, 2 bars of 4, 7, and 6.
Nice.
Have you learned anything today, Chuck?
Yeah. that's pretty awesome. All right. Anything more we want to talk about on Fruit Plate?
I do recall while watching the movie, I really liked that hand clap in the background. That was a nice touch.
Gotcha. Cool.
I thought it was interesting.
Yeah, it is interesting.
All right. So there is a big set action piece in the middle of this movie that is just wonderful. And it breaks down into two different musical pieces. And this is a car chase mm-hmm. and a fight during the car chase, including an attack dog that only responds to commands in French. It's really wonderful. So let's start off listening to Ball Biter.
Okay. Was this the fight in the big dump truck thing, back dump loader?
Yes. To clarify what you're saying,
yeah.
There's a truck, and it has a giant metal bin on the back, mm-hmm. that falls off, so the truck is dragging this through the streets. Mm-hmm. And our hero is fighting the bad guys, fist fighting the bad guys in this giant metal monstrosity.
It's a fantastic sequence.
And this particular bit of music, that's why I'm here. Mm-hmm. It's got the overall theme of the movie very strongly, and it's a high action piece.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The instrumentation is interesting. It's lots of just guitar and bass and drums, like classic mm-hmm. rock instruments, and then the orchestral accents. I think, I haven't investigated this, but it sounds like they are sort of sampled sounds through a synthesizer, which is very 80s thing to do.
Yeah.
Or they just, he played them on traditional instrument and then just changed the sound.
Right,
you know,
right.
Modified them. Yeah. I could, now that you say he's a cellist by training, I can hear how he realizes that.
Hmm.
Yeah.
But in my rock band days, there was a patch on the synthesizer. Why are you staring with your mouth agape?
You never reference
and
your
I
rock
never
band
will
days.
Again. But
I am forbidden,
yes,
to ever talk about your rock band days.
And yet here you are talking about it.
What?
You brought it up.
I can talk about it.
Ladies and gentlemen, I have never heard about Dr. Bob's rock band days.
Well, I was a backup singer and keyboard player for a rock band, and there was a
what?
Particular in the 80s, and there was a particular patch on the synthesizer called an orchestra hit, which was just that, like, heavy strings, but you go bah, 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 for effect. And Debbie Gibson, a hero of mine, she used it a lot in her magnum opus, Electric Youth.
What was the name of your rock band?
I'm not going to disclose that, because then you're going to all creep off to YouTube and pull it up. So you're just going to have to trust me.
That was my very next stop. How did he know?
I know, kids.
Oh, my God. I cannot believe you dropped that.
All right. So I am sitting there watching this movie, and there's guys fighting and cars banging. There's a damsel in distress. There's action and destruction, and there's this music behind it, and I'm at a fever pitch, ladies and gentlemen. And they continue the action scene and change the music, mm-hmm. because they decide to splice in what Emily Blunt's character is doing at the same time, and she is at a karaoke bar.
Because she's expecting him to show up. But he's fighting the bad guy in a huge fight to the death sequence.
And she feels jilted, and she asks for this.
Oh, my God. Love this song. How come I just let you walk away? Just let you leave without a trace? When I stand here taking every breath with you, ooh. You're the only one who really knew me at all. This is quite the emotional journey.
Do you want me to leave it play?
Damn, no. God, that is a great song.
That's the only criticism I have about this film.
Oh!
Is that in the karaoke bar, which, as we know from past weeks, would have been a diegetic song.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Emily Blunt was singing over top of Phil Collins' vocals, which is not how karaoke works, A.
Okay.
And B, Emily Blunt can sing. So why not just have her record the vocals and mix that in whatever you need to do with the action sequence?
Huh. I never thought about that.
Well, it made me visibly angry. I don't know if you noticed.
I did not.
Well, I was too into the scene. I didn't care about that.
Well, someone has to notice these things.
Well, aside from the details, I was enjoying myself, even though it makes no sense. We have an orchestral piece, which is fast-paced and exciting, set to a great car chase We stop all that, we continue the car chase, and play a relatively slow love ballad from the 80s. What? Despite all that, it really, really works. I don't know why, but it works. You get that swelling feeling in your chest of, oh, this is awesome, and is he going to prevail? And of course he does. Spoilers. So, yeah, and we are skipping through this. I want to bring to your attention, we're just playing what I've chosen to introduce to you as a listener. There's 20 songs or something like pieces on the soundtrack, and we're not going to play them all, but they're it's worth a listen.
Well, we're encouraging people to see the movie for themselves.
Yes. Oh God, yes, please see the movie. It's a blast.
You know how I knew it was going to be good?
After seeing the trailers and being disappointed.
Yeah.
When did you know it was going to be good?
My sister, who finds every action and superhero movie highly implausible, said she liked it.
Wow.
And I pushed back online. I said, how is this movie good? And she said, you have to trust me. It's good.
She was right.
She was right.
I literally had to drag you to my house to watch this.
You did, because when you first suggested it, I was like,
But we hate to leave the house. So.
Right. Well, granted. So, I want to skip ahead to a wonderful piece. We're not going to listen to the whole thing. We're gonna start off at 3 minutes and 12 seconds into this piece. He has been caught by the bad guys. He is about to be killed. He's tied up.
Oh, that's right.
There's nothing he can do.
No.
There's no way out, ladies and gentlemen.
They're dousing him in gasoline.
Here is Miami grilled cheese.
Now much heavier use of actual orchestral, unaltered orchestral instruments, and all of that low bum 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 bum. That's cello.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And also, we have not mentioned almost every one of these pieces has voices incorporated into, just like ghostly background voices.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I've got to listen more closely.
Background vocals.
Which so, probably is him, since he's a singer. I'm just making a logical assumption.
Earlier in the movie, we had a case of Chekhov's Miami Vice reference, and here it pays off. And when we were in the theater and they started playing the theme, I started kicking my feet like a toddler would.
I wish we had seen this with you.
Dr. Husband, you were invited.
I know.
This was on the movies thread, you got, and you muted your messages.
I have. I don't have the Facebook Messenger notifications turned on my phone. I miss a lot.
You need it.
I don't have the notifications turned on either. I just go and look at it.
Oh, I have. I know so many people.
There's so many people that love me.
So many people that I have to follow.
I have a social media empire and a job, and I managed to do it, so.
Yeah.
You don't have to commute to work.
You commute 5 minutes.
That's 12. 12.
It takes me 12 minutes to commute down the stairs, so.
Every morning, same. You have four interns that meet you in the driveway with a chariot that they drag your ass to work.
Oh, my God. Okay, message received.
So in this piece, you're saying we have more of a classical orchestral thing.
That's how it starts, yes.
Yeah. Right before it goes into the
Miami Vice.
80s synthesizer piece. It's a very nice contrast.
Really sweet.
Although there is, from the beginning, there was guitar incorporated with the orchestra, which, you know, then it goes almost all guitar in the Miami Vice section.
Gotcha. Yeah, that's a crowd pleaser. So yeah, there is a point in the movie where the audience, they really, really want us to think that Colt is dead. The hero is dead. And I think the whole soundtrack has been building to this particular piece, which is I Was Made for Loving You, but not by Kiss. It's credited to both Youngblood and Dominic Lewis. And this was I Was Made for Loving You.
Girl, I was made for you.
God, that's good.
It's really, really good. It's like they took a good song and they slowed it down, which usually I'm against. But they slowed it down. They made it cinematic. And I can really see that this is, I mean, I'm not familiar with Youngblood. I'm sure he's a great artist. But you can see how Dominic Lewis has his fingers in here and is employing a lot of this to not only be just the song.
Youngblood is an English singer, songwriter, and actor whose first name is also Dominic.
Ooh. So they had that connection.
Yeah.
So in the movie, it's a bunch of slow motion. You think that Colt is dead. We know he's not really dead. They're showing how he escaped. They're cutting in with scenes of one character telling Emily Blunt's character that he's dead. And she finds out he's been messaging her and texting her this whole time.
Right.
And it's an extended scene. And it's very powerful. We know that Colt is not dead. Dr. Bob stood up and yelled that this was the least surprising death scene.
I don't recall. Was I drunk? Did I really stand up and yell?
You didn't stand up, but you did exclaim to the whole room that was a surprise for no one. But they pulled it off. The direction and the soundtrack working together really made that work. So, any commentary on how they took that Kiss song and turned it into this?
So, that's what we mean when we've spoken in previous weeks about developing. They take that melody and they just build upon it and build it out and build it out and build it out.
Very well.
Yeah, very well done.
Very, very well done. And it's beautiful.
I'm now starting to think that those are the soundtracks that are catching my attention, where I can walk away and hum a piece of it in several different ways, like Indiana Jones or Star Wars, Superman, and now this, where it really sticks with me. I find myself coming out of the bathroom at night in slow motion. I was made for loving you, baby.
Me too, but usually because I sat down too long.
Yeah, same.
My legs are sweet.
Oh, right. So we've talked about that, and we are over the hump of the movie. We've done our middle of the movie set pieces, our action. We've got a couple of nice pieces we're going to skip and go right into wire straights.
Nice pun.
Okay. This is where the action kicks up and the characters are starting the big final showdown.
Right.
Bad guys and good guys and stuntmen versus hired mercenaries with guns and a big car chase. We're going to go into wire straits, but we're going to start it at a minute 58 into it. We'll be right back.
we have a parental advisory on this thing, this podcast?
I'm sure we do.
Do we?
I don't know.
I just want to say it's fucking awesome.
I
loved it. That makes me want to watch the movie again.
You said offline, Chuck, that you didn't notice the voices before, but that's because they're very well. I mean, he's using them as another instrument in the orchestra. They're not no text, and there's not they're not pulled out of the texture. They're just
Right. This piece is kind of amazing to me, and I don't know crap about music, like we've already said. But it has several different transitions to me, and they feel both jarring and smooth, like how you would want a transition to go.
Mm-hmm.
This makes the Running List playlist. We have created a Running List playlist that we will get into at the end of this podcast for you runners out. Dr. Bob, I know you're anxious to put together.
Really, really looking forward to not running.
But there's a section right there at the end, like almost a minute before the whole piece ends, which, this is a favorite. It's a favorite, but it's not the end.
No.
Whoa.
This is only half of the end.
Mm-hmm.
We're sitting there watching the movie and we think it's done. You got the evidence. The guy's guilty. You made the fantastic jump in the stunt car.
Uh-huh.
What else is there left to do?
Helicopter drop.
Oh, my God. There's a helicopter?
Yes.
Spoiler alert.
We are going into the final big, well, maybe not the final, the next to last big action sequence. We're going to start 3 minutes and 16 seconds into this piece. So it has already been blowing my socks off for 3 minutes. This is where the fall guy jumps onto that helicopter for the last action pass. What was that? So action-packed drums.
Yeah.
From the layman's perspective, I do not know how these musicians live. I feel like if you were playing that fast, you'd have a heart attack and fall over.
Oh, well, no, years of training.
They practice,
yeah.
Chuck.
Oh, yeah. Practice is key.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Not for me, obviously. I just walk in and do it, but I'm not a string player. So.
Oh, yeah. They are brilliant.
So any thoughts on this particular piece?
You can't sit still when you listen
to
it. Yeah, it just stops and goes and stops and goes and builds and builds and builds and makes me want to run around the room.
I hear echoes of that I Was Made for Loving You melody. It's inverted somehow, but it's there. The structure is the same. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Sitting there in that chair while you guys were in my living room and we're watching this on Apple Rental.
Right.
I was just so freaking happy, like out of my mind, insanely happy. The action going on, the scene, the music, it's just, it's everything that I want.
I knew you were happy. Do you know how I could tell?
I didn't think you had any idea.
Yeah, I can tell. Because you'd stopped putting entries on your spreadsheets.
Yeah, screw you, Dr. Husband. Okay. So, but wait a minute. Wait a minute. It ended on a very extended, high-pitched note.
Open, just leaving it there on a cliffhanger.
So, a cliffhanger to what? Well, I've got the answer for you. Because this is the wrap-up of the thing. He has the MacGuffin in his hands. Mm-hmm. He's climbed all over the helicopter. Mm-hmm. And this is the point where he is facing down the bad guy. They're not really talking. Mm-hmm. And they play that extended note. And then they go right into this. The Kiss version of I Was Made for Loving You.
Yeah.
As he does that fall that you see in the trailers.
Yeah.
Tumbling through the air, and they're playing this. And I could not have been happier during this moment.
That was sweet, wasn't it?
What a wonderful combination of movie and soundtrack. Mm-hmm.
You mentioned playlists earlier. You know what, fellas?
What?
We, not me, could create Spotify playlists each week and put it in the show notes if we ever have show notes.
That's right. Do you have a Spotify?
And share it with our 10 of listeners.
I don't have a Spotify, but I was going to suggest something similar.
So it will be me.
I was going to suggest something similar about us getting a website or something where we could post like our suggestions for running playlists.
Yeah.
Playlists. So for The Fall Guy, the movie, I can't stop tinkering with the two playlists that I have. I've taken all the songs, meaning something with lyrics, mm-hmm. out of the official playlist they put out mm-hmm. and put that into my song track. Mm-hmm. And my soundtrack only has the orchestral stuff and the Youngblood song.
Okay.
But then I take the trailers, the two trailers that I rip, and I put them at the beginning and end of the soundtrack.
Okay.
So it feels more like a movie.
Oh.
And then I can go to the song track, and that's something my wife Lori will listen to. So putting together a song track, I've got Any Way You Want It, You Give Love a Bad Name, mm-hmm. I Was Made for Loving You, All Too Well from Taylor Swift, Thunderstruck from AC/DC, Against All Odds, Dr. Husband favorite, from Phil Collins, All I Do Is Win by DJ Khaled, I don't know. There's a couple of songs done for the movie, Unsung Heroes and Ain't No Galaxy. That's on the official soundtrack I put in there. But bookending this song track, I've got two pieces, both called The Unknown Stuntman.
Oh, yeah.
So they took the original Fall Guy
theme song, yep,
which was sung by Lee Majors.
I wonder if it was the only song he ever recorded.
Oh, no, remember his love song to Jamie?
Right?
Oh, Jamie.
Yeah, he's not a good singer.
He wanted to be.
Yeah, he wanted
to be. He wanted to be.
Have I told you, Chuck, that my college friend's father was roommates with Lee Majors in college?
Really?
Yes.
Did I tell you that my friends from my senior year of high school, that his mother went to high school with Lee Majors?
No.
We're going to have to get together and compare notes.
Ever told you guys that I have absolutely no connection whatsoever to Lee Majors?
Apparently, Lee Majors was discovered by a major Hollywood star and taken out for a weekend trip away, a fishing trip. And came back.
I've read that book. Go on.
He told all everybody in his high school that he thought Rock Hudson might be gay.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. There's lots of John Saxon. Same story. Yeah. Guy Madison. Yeah, there was an agent that discovered Rock Hudson and several other hunky, good-looking men.
Wow.
And they would have pool parties at Rock Hudson's house.
Nice.
Every weekend. Yeah.
So, yeah, they bring back the unknown stuntman in this movie. Mm-hmm. It's not the Lee Majors version. Got some popular dude called Blake Shelton. Are you guys familiar with this?
Yes.
Are you serious?
I'm sorry.
Yes.
I am serious.
Yes, you have to be living under a rock.
And
I guess you really don't know who Blake Shelton is.
No, I'm not familiar with the man.
Oh my God.
Well, we don't know any Taylor Swift songs. We can't cast aspersions.
That's right. In fairness.
They have rewritten the lyrics.
Yes, they did.
It's not the same lyrics. Not that that's a bad thing, but they've updated it, but held it to the theme, held to the spirit of the original. The original calling out individual actresses and how he's been in love with all these women, mm-hmm. It's different women. But this whole movie is an 80s action movie wrapped around a love story. Mm-hmm. So they wanted something less promiscuous, I guess, for that. And then they call out this unknown named Blake Shelton to... to do his own version of Unknown Stuntman, which I thought was excellent.
Well, I'm not the kind to run and hide. When I come close to danger, I ain't never been afraid to take the fall. Yeah, I'll fall. I'll walk the wire through rain and fire. Go fast and I'll go slow. Somehow I get stronger through it all. It's a death-defying life I lead. Take my chances. I'd die for living in the movies and TV. But the hardest thing I'll ever do is watch my leading ladies kiss some other guy while I'm bandaging my knee. Well, I might fall from a tall building.
Fall Guy's gone woke, but
what? Oh,
Holly Weird strikes again.
I love your level of cranky. All right, so if you're one of our listeners who loves to exercise, and I know that our listeners love the exercise.
Oh,
I know
yes.
A couple of them don't.
Yes.
Yeah.
There's one in particular that loves the fact that you run, I hear, that you're an accomplished runner.
Loves. Yes. Loves. That's exactly right. Our dear listener, whenever they hear about me mentioning running, will send me an angry text telling me, will you please, something along the lines of, please shut up about your running.
Okay. Yeah,
which I truly appreciate.
We dare that particular listener to put together this playlist and try not to run.
Challenge accepted.
And I am going to say, we'll post this somewhere. Dr. Bob will figure out a way. But we'll start with Finale from Lone Ranger. Run Londinium from King Arthur, Kingsman Hoedown from Kingsman the Golden Circle, Ship to Ship from Star Trek Into Darkness, and Wire Straits and the Fall Guy from this piece, The Fall Guy. And as you are getting back to your driveway, all successful, and you're up that final hill, Gonna Fly Now from Rocky.
Wow, that's a nice playlist.
Yeah. We're gonna going to be hitting those movies and much more in future podcasts, because I got to say, I'm having a blast with this.
Me too.
We're going to do Rocky.
What's that?
We're going to do Rocky.
We have to.
I've never seen it.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I've never seen Baby Jane.
Well, whatever, we're going to rectify that.
Yeah.
Right after the 5,000 fingers of Dr. T.
The 5,000 fingers of Dr. T. So, gentlemen, any more thoughts on The Fall Guy?
Thank you, thank you, thank you for deciding that we should listen to it, and for renting it, and for bringing it to our attention. It is a new favorite movie of mine.
I resent the implication that we are gentlemen, but yes, I did love the movie, and I would watch it again and again.
Mm-hmm. All right, and I am really liking this Dominic Lewis guy.
Yes.
I'm anxious to see what action flicks that he's got coming up. I got to go check out the Bullet Train soundtrack again, but there really wasn't anything there that kind of grabbed me by the throat like this one did.
Hmm.
So yeah, Hollywood, get on this guy. Use him, use him.
From
use
your
him.
Mouth to God's ears.
Right. So, folks, that's all for today. If you've got thoughts you're burning to share with us, Dr. Bob will tell you where you can write your missives.
For the time being, you can find us on social media at GoGoCheckPod. Very soon, Nerd Orchestra will have its own dedicated social media empire.
I'm so tingly, really tingly thrilled. I highly recommend our sister podcast, Dr. Bob and Dr. Husband, take an in-depth look at DC checkerboard-covered comics of the 1960s. That is really fun to say.
Thank you.
It's not only groovy, it's my favorite podcast. And please do the like and subscribe tango and check us out in about 1 month as we delve deep into some of your favorite exciting soundtracks. And with that, we close things out by rolling the credits and acknowledging that we've come to
the end.